I'm happy to be with you today, and I want to greet you in the mighty name of Jesus. That's why we're here today, is because of Jesus, our Lord. I also want to bring you greetings from the believers in Minnesota at the Living Waters congregation, and a couple specific greetings. Bradley Hurst wanted me to share greetings with Tim, your last name, Showalter, and Dean Byers. Greetings from Bradley Hurst, and greetings from James Martin to Lynn Eby. So I share those specific greetings now so that they are for sure given as they need to be. We can go anywhere in the world as believers and meet with other true believers and feel at home. That's the wonderful part of being of the family of God. I would like to consider the question today, what does baptism mean? Let's look at Romans chapter 6 to lay a foundation for this question. What does baptism mean? We see people getting baptized. We saw two young sisters get baptized this morning. So what does it mean? And what I have is not all conclusive. I just have 7 points I want to think about. But let's read Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, first of all. Thank you. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What does baptism mean? I would like to start with a story about Louis Zamperini's conversion. Some of you have probably read the book, what is it called now? Unbroken. His life was very, very, how would you say, in his growing up years, he was not very well controlled. But he was fighting in World War II. He was a fighter pilot, and he was on a raft in the ocean for 40-some days and then ended up in the Japanese prison camp. And he was freed from that at the end of the war and came back to America, and he married a beautiful young lady. and they lived together, but life was not going well. He was haunted with his past, the things that had happened to him. I call them terrifically terrible things. He would have dreams and flashbacks, and he was drinking. He would drink to drown this out, and life was very miserable for him and his wife and others around him. But one day, one time, Billy Graham came to town and was holding revival meetings, and some friends of theirs told him and his wife about this, and his wife got interested, and she wanted to go, and she went. And she came home and told Louis that she had had a religious experience. And he was not impressed by that. But they worked on him. She did, and I think some of his other friends, to go and hear Billy Graham preach. So he went the first night, and Billy Graham talked that night about the occasion where those men brought that woman before Jesus. They were accusing her of sin. And you know how Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground. And that night, Billy shared that God knows everything about you. From the beginning to the end, he knows everything. And Louis thought, oh, I'm a good man. But really deep down inside, he knew that he wasn't. When Billy gave the invitation, he fled from the building, dragging his wife with him. He got out of there. Well, they continued to work on him to go back again. And finally he did. And the second night, Mr. Graham spoke about God and his creation and how powerful he is. And he's a miracle-working God. That touched a chord with Louis as well. But again, when Billy gave the invitation, he was up and he was moving out of the building. He was dragging his wife with him. But he got to the end of the aisle and he stopped and he had a flashback. He remembered a time on the raft when things were just not going well. And he had promised God that if you save me, I'll serve you forever. Well, instead of leaving the building, he turned and he walked up the aisle. He turned towards God, and he was saved that night. He went home that same night. On the way home, his wife was just looking at him. I don't think she could believe what had happened. He cleaned house that night. The drink, the cigarettes, the magazines, whatever else had been a part of his life to drown out these evil spirits, if you please, he got rid of it. He cleaned up. The next day, he got the Bible that he had been given while he was in the military, and he went to a park and he sat down. And he wept. He wept. That's the first point I have. What does baptism mean? Why, it means that you've turned towards God. In Acts 11, verse 21... just a simple verse. I believe Peter was one of those preaching here anyway. Acts 11, verse 21, it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." They turned towards God. You know, that's what baptism means. It means you've turned towards God. You were headed down the road this way, and you discovered you were going the wrong way, and you turned around and you went the other way. You turned towards God. You turned towards those who would help you find God. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. You know, if Louis would have fled the building that night again, I don't know what would have happened to him. He may have ended up dying from his lifestyle. We have another occasion here in Mark 5. We have this man in the country of the Gadarenes. And Jesus came there. Mark 5, verse 2, it says, "And when he was come out of the ship," this is speaking of Jesus, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And he saw Jesus, and he ran and he worshipped him," it says, "and cried with a loud voice, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For Jesus had said, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' Jesus asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And then Legion begged that he would not send him out of the country, and they went into this great herd of swine feeding. And the herd of swine ran into the sea. And the men that were feeding the swine fled," it says. And they came, and then people came. Verse 15, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. That's the second point I have. What does baptism mean? Why, it means that you're in your right mind, because you've turned towards God. You are now in your right mind. You're now able to think straight. You're able to think soundly. You have a right base from which to start thinking from now. Jesus saved me. Jesus washed me from my sins. He forgave me. This man was sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You know, that should move us to a certain amount of fear to make sure that we know what it is to be in our right mind by the grace of God. That's what baptism means. You're in your right mind. And you know, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're not in your right mind. Let's turn to Acts chapter 9. Here was a man that was also not in his right mind at the moment. Saul, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way," anybody that was in their right mind, if you please, "that he could bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Why are you doing this to me?'" God asks us that question too. if we're not in our right mind, if we haven't turned towards God, he asks us the same question, Lawrence, Lawrence, why are you doing this to me? And he said, Saul said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And that happened. And then a brother, someone that was in their right mind, came and laid hands on him and baptized him, right? Yes, in verse 18, he arose and was baptized. Point number three is, what does baptism mean? It means that you're asking this question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You've turned towards God, you're in your right mind, you're asking this question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Maybe you haven't really thought of this question this way, but it's a beautiful question. It can become a daily question to make a part of our life. Lord, I remember listening to Brother Roland Ulrich. I believe it was the message he preached at your bishop ordination, Brother Leonard, saying that he has made it a habit of his life, when he gets up in the morning, the first thing he does is thank God for salvation. I think we should add this to that thought, that when we get up in the morning, we thank God for salvation, and we ask him, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Often it's fairly spelled out what God wants us to do, but maybe not always. Maybe he's something really different for us to do today. You may just give a cup of water to someone, or a gift of money, or maybe the Spirit of God lays on your heart to pray for someone. A way to make my parents' life easier or more pleasant, and it might be to lead someone to Jesus. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? The next point I have, point number four, is that we no longer hide our identity. We do not deny our Lord anymore. And I take that one from Mark 5 also. When that man, he was saved, he was in his right mind, he wanted to go with Jesus. And Jesus said, no. He suffered him not, it says. I think Jesus was very kind about it. He was not rude. He didn't say, no, you just stay there. He was very gentle, and he told him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. We no longer hide our identity, and we do not deny our Lord anymore. We're not like Peter sitting at the campfire, cursing and swearing and saying, no, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I'm newborn now. All my life has been rearranged. What a difference it made when the Lord came and stayed in my heart. Oh, yes, I've been changed. One question I have for us today, parents, older Christians, have your children or others who know you heard how you came to salvation? I think as parents we should share with our children our experience. And maybe it doesn't seem that significant or important, but I think they need to hear it. How did you come to know Jesus? We do not deny our Lord anymore. And you know, that's going to be a point that will test us time and time again. I know from personal experience working with ungodly people. And some, it doesn't have to be ungodly people. We can do it even with each other when we're not willing to say, no, I don't think God would have us to behave that way. Or, I think God wants us to do this. But yes, when you're around people, are you able? As you have turned towards God, you're in your right mind, you're asking the question, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Are you able? When someone says, well, let's go do this. And you say, no, I don't think Jesus would want us to do that. Or someone is disrespectful or tells a bad story. And you feel like laughing. It seems funny, but God gives you the grace to not go along with it. Point number five. I want to read two verses. One's in Mark 16, verse 9. Doesn't say much, but it's talking about a lady. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, it refers to her again. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. What does baptism mean? It is a commitment to remaining free from the devils that we've been delivered from. I don't know what this lady was like before she was saved. I don't know what the seven devils were. But from the little that we read about her, she remained with Jesus. You know, Jesus told that woman there in John, in the book of John, he told her, go and sin no more. And you know, the man that was at the pool that couldn't get into the water soon enough, Jesus healed him, and then he came back later and he said, I've made you whole. Sin no more, lest a worse evil come upon you. It's a commitment to remaining free from the devils that we've been delivered from. We can think of a number of things. Anger, lying, selfishness. Sometimes we've gotten to the place that we think we're the most important person in the around. And Jesus delivers us from that, from laziness, immorality, whatever else you want to put in there. Those are devils that Jesus delivers us from, and baptism is a commitment to remaining free from them. Point number six, turn to Ephesians. I want to read a verse in Ephesians 2, verse 19. Ephesians 2, verse 19 says, now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's exciting to me. Baptism means that you're no longer a stranger, but you're a member of God's family. You have a place to belong. I have a place to belong in Christ Jesus. You can even go somewhere and maybe people aren't the most friendly, but in the family of God, you belong. You can travel the world. You meet up with true believers, and you know your spirits connect. You talk about things that are truly important. You might be flying on an airplane, sitting beside someone and you get into a conversation, you realize these people know Jesus. You don't need to be shy or reclusive anymore. You belong. I know that can be hard to overcome, our humanity, the human side of us. We can be shy, reclusive. We don't like to step out and meet people. I can be that way. But we belong. We're not a stranger anymore. We know each other in Christ Jesus. That's what baptism means. It's a family reunion. Well, point number 7 is that what does baptism mean? It means I'm claiming the promises of God. And so I wrote down 7 promises of God. I'm taking them that way anyway. Psalm 34, verse 18 says, "The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Acts 3, verse 19, the first part of the verse says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out," that they can be covered, that they can be washed. That's a promise. Repent and be converted. Luke 11, verse 9 says, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And I can testify that when you do that, when you really do that, God does it. He answers that. He fulfills that promise when you ask in the name of Jesus, when you seek with all your heart, and you knock, he opens it unto you. Your understanding. Luke 11:13 says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" That's a promise. I wonder today, when's the last time that I specifically prayed for the Holy Spirit? It says here, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Well, be bold and ask. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." It's a promise. And don't get stuck on the temptation. Please don't get stuck on the temptation. You think you're the only one being tempted that way. That's not true. But such as is common to man. Rather, focus on that God does not want us to be tempted above that we are able to bear. And he gives a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. 1 John 2, verse 1 says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." The goal is no sin. But if we sin, if we transgress, if we find there's a fault in my life, we have an advocate with the Father. We need to come back to Jesus Christ and stay turned towards him. Jesus pleads with God for you and me. 1 John 2:25 says, "And this is the promise, that he hath promised us, even eternal life." That's what baptism means. It means you have eternal life. Jesus has promised that. As we turn towards Him, we're in our right mind. We're asking the question, Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? We don't hide our identity anymore. We're not denying our Lord, and we remain free from the devils that we've been delivered from. We're no longer a stranger, and we're claiming the promises of God. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we are also given the promise that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Doesn't matter where you go, God is always with us.